In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. We have all heard, perhaps to the point of annoyance, the worn-out adage, God works in mysterious ways. Some would understand this statement as describing a circuitous route of circumstances that God implements that challenges or even confuses the human intellect, but eventually comes to an outcome that is desired and, quote-unquote, makes sense. In considering today's gospel regarding the paralytic, we could be tempted to apply this assessment. Why would God allow a poor, paralyzed man to spend 38 long years of suffering at the sheep's pool, seeing others gain healing from the angel stirring the water, but having no one to help him avail himself of God's healing mercies, which were right in front of him, and to seemingly rub it in? The Lord Jesus asked the paralytic, "Dost thou want to be made well?" I think so. 38 years. Then God's mysterious ways are shown to make sense. When he grants forgiveness of sins and healing without the paralytic even getting his feet wet. So the story has a happy ending. One who was paralyzed is healed and enabled to walk. Without showing due reverence for the Lord's healing of this man, we must see that this encounter points to a reality which is far greater than the immediate circumstances and outcome. Why would the angel only stir the waters once a year to the benefit of one person only? The answer to this question points us to a greater reality. The healing of one man per year in the sheep's pool clearly points toward the Christian sacrament of holy baptism. The healing of one man every year is a type of a foreshadowing of a greater reality that was to come. A mystery, to be sure. But like all types and prefigurements, this one is deficient. Only one man is getting healed at the sheep's pool, and he needs a helper so that he would reach the water first. In holy baptism, all men are made well. Christ himself will help everyone to have all that they need. It is important to understand that in holy baptism, it is not only the entrance into the church, is not only a cleansing, but it is the way in which a man is made whole, or woman, and healed of his or her infirmities. The healing of bodily infirmities in the sheep's pool only points to the total healing offered by God through baptism and the subsequent living of the Christian life. Salvation in the Eastern Orthodox concept is about the healing of the soul. It is not a juridical proposition. We're not in a juridical, we have this juridical legalistic problem. We're in some courtroom, and God is this angry judge, and we've done wrong, and we are in trouble, and we've got to get out of trouble. That is not the concept of Orthodox Christianity, nor has it ever been. The church has always seen sin as an illness that, among other things, paralyzes us, that prevents us from movement. That's what paralysis is it not? Paralysis is the prevention of movement. Movement toward what? Toward God. St. Anthony the Great, the father of desert monasticism in the second century, said that all of life is a procession toward God. Worship, by definition, is a procession to the throne of God. How do we move? It is a movement that takes place within the hearts of God's people. And when that is not working right, we really are sick. St. John Chrysostom writes, "What manner of cure is this? What mystery doth it signify to us? For these things are not written carelessly or without a purpose, but as by a figure and type. They show in outline things to come, in order that what was exceedingly strange might not by coming unexpectedly harm among the many the power of faith." St. John Chrysostom. The paralytic is a microcosm of the human race, paralyzed by sin. So does God work in mysterious ways? He certainly does through his mysteries, which is another word for sacraments. But let us not judge the efficacy of God in sacraments in his church on the basis of our very limited and short-sighted expectations of circumstantial outcomes. God is trying to make us whole. He is trying to make us complete. That is why he came in the flesh. That is why he willfully and with great joy offered himself up on the cross for our sins. To complete us, to make us whole. Sin makes us less than human. He is trying to make us whole. And that can only be done when we are brought back into communion with him and the Father and the Holy Spirit. For this healing to happen, we must be set free from the passions, and we must be given forgiveness of our sins. God works in each of us, has this as its ultimate goal and purpose. The forgiveness of the paralytic sins, that was the real deal. The fact that he enabled him to walk seemed to those around as that was the real deal. But the most important thing that takes place in this encounter is the forgiveness of sins. And to be sure, we know that there is a connection, not always a completely direct connection, tit for tat type of connection, but there is obviously a connection between sin and illness and the infirmities of the body. In this particular case, God chose to heal the infirmities of the body of this poor man. Thank God he did. But that was not what made this encounter so incredible. Sometimes we will, to some extent, understand what and why God is allowing to come our way. Many times, if not most, our understanding will be limited or even completely absent. In times such as these, let us recall the paralytic whose faith and steadfastness was rewarded. It was rewarded in his case both temporally and eternally. And we will get a reward temporally. It may not be exactly the one we think we need or deserve. St. Paul tells us that when we submit all things to God in faith and prayer, that the peace of God will be given to us. And we can experience that peace no matter what the circumstances of our life might be. And if you say, "Well, it sounds good, but that's not what's happening with me right now." Well, that's okay too. But I'm suggesting revisit that. Be patient. Learn to wait on the Lord. Sometimes we have to endure things. That doesn't mean God has left us. He's always there. He's always at work. He's never asleep on the job. He's never deficient in any way in his work among his people. But we sometimes fall asleep at the wheel, do we not? We see God as having this role of making us happy. And that is the prime determinant in our minds sometimes of the efficacy of his involvement in our lives. What he is trying to do with us far exceeds making us happy and arranging the circumstances of our life in a way that we wish. He is thinking in eternal terms. We must trust that. We must believe that. We must give ourselves over to that. The paralytic was well acquainted with his limitations. Are we? Are we acquainted with our limitations? Do we see them as our friends? Excuse me. Do we complain about our limitations, the difficulties of our life, the circumstances of our life? Or do we give thanks to God in all things, recognizing and believing from our heart of hearts that He is at work in everything? We don't need to judge whether or not He did a good job in relation to some set of circumstances that we have. God works in mysterious ways. Boy, He really got out there, but He came back where He needed to come back to and made me happy. That's not the way it always works. He certainly does not rejoice in our being unhappy, and I don't want to suggest that. But true trust, true faith involves understanding our own limitations and casting our anxieties on the Lord. Paralysis can be the cause of incredible suffering and frustration, but it can also provide the opportunity to examine one's soul in great depth. We can know that as we stand before God and explore the depths of our inner man in humility and repentance, God will be there for us. Always, every single time. And He will liberate us and He will deliver us from these impediments that obstruct our movement toward Him. The power of the resurrection, we are still basking in that in this Paschal season subsequent to Pascha. This great power and glory will enable us to mount up on the King's highway and to finish the race set before us. But we've got to be willing to accept that. We've got to be willing to give ourselves to that. He is not going to force it on us. This is God's mysterious work in us. May it be made complete in each and every one of us in that great day of His return. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.